KRVN.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Definitely, I called it the teeter-totter action that seemed to be happening within this market trade today, especially when you looked at that corn market and the fluctuations that continue to happen within the trade. We're going to look at some other factors that are building in, like the example, what happened in the beans. I know we've got some weather concerns out there, and we'll also take a look at what happened on the livestock side of the trade. So, of course, we're going to get all those numbers coming in and a look at what happened with Darren Fry. Darren, of course, is with Water Street Advisors. And I think we got to start out talking about this bean market and kind of saw some breaks happening and some nice recoveries.
Yeah, you know, today, we had the bean market down pretty good, down 13, 14 cents earlier. And it just kind of kept fighting back until it got back to basically unchanged on the day. Same thing with meal. We saw meal down about $6, $6.50, and it came down back to finish down maybe $2 to $3. Bean oil was pretty much higher all day. So bean oil was led higher, I think, by the strength in crude. Crude showing some signs here of wanting to go higher and having a pretty good day, up over $2 a barrel today. So I think that really helped the bean oil out considerably.
Well, as you look at that, what type of influence push are you seeing on this oil market? Because it just kind of sits quietly back in the background for a while, and then every so often it rears its head.
Well, you know, we've been bearish the bean oil for some time from a technical standpoint. What was going on fundamentally was, a lot of that used cooking oil that the EU wasn't taking, the United States was taking, and we were using some of that, obviously in the renewable diesel, biodiesel sector. And so had a lot of competition there to bean oil. And then you had crude palm oil, on its lows, but it's recovered here over the last couple months. And so by getting rid of some of that used cooking oil and seeing the crude palm oil moving higher, I think the bean oil has finally had to get maybe a bottom in place, and maybe we can look higher. I'd like to see more price actually upside, but fundamentally and technically things are starting to line up as we see this crush continue to expand. We see the biodiesel numbers be really good, and obviously it doesn't ever hurt, Susan, when you see energy markets like heating oil, the RBOB, and crude oil up. That is going to lend some credibility to the ethanol and the biodiesel, renewable diesel side.
I was just going to ask you, since you started talking about the energy department, how do you think demand's going for the ethanol industry right now?
Well, I think, we need to see some more legislation come through just to get E15 approved year-round. I know they're talking about doing that after the election, but I do think that there's good margins in ethanol, and we know that, certain times of year you build inventory and then you shrink those back, and I think right now things are starting to look up, and I think some of the grind numbers that the USDA's put out might have to be expanded a little bit as we're still ahead of their pace. For their expectations.
I know CONAB numbers came out earlier this week, and we know the discrepancy that's always seemed to happen between CONAB and USDA, but are their numbers, do you consider them to be a lot more kind of firm as to what they're seeing in those crops down there?
Well, you'd think they'd have a better handle on it than the USDA, but the USDA is, about 8 million metric tons apart from CONAB, even farther apart on the corn numbers. And, the people that are bearish say USDA is accurate. CONAB's just trying to be empathetic with the farmers down there, their situation. I think they probably have a better idea than USDA. And one of the things that I've noticed in the cash market is, and we've seen good demand from China, but, right through the gut slot of harvest, as they harvested those beans, the first 60%, let's say, we've seen the basis rise about a dollar down there. And the harvest has been really quick. And so when the harvest is fast and demand has been good, but you got a big crop, you would still think the basis would have a hard time firming. And so it makes me wonder if the crop's as big as what everybody has been saying. Maybe CONAB is closer to the mark. We know a lot of privates are under them. And so I don't think it's just demand from China. I think it's a combination of both. And maybe they're a little closer to the mark than USDA. So time will tell. USDA is very slow to come down. But by May or June, they'll be close to the mark by then. But that's a little late for trading, obviously.
And I'm sure, with the Safrina crop, too, weather's going to continue to play a marketing ploy in it as well.
Absolutely, and there might be a chance for a little moisture, scattered showers coming in here in that 11 to 15 day period out there toward the end of the month. But overall, I see a warmer than normal pattern, a drier than normal pattern down there. And you know, much like 2016, and this is a good analog year for this year, is 2016. And they lost about 22% of that crop that year. And I think they could lose a good amount of bushels. And that'll really change how much demand we see from an export side, not just for old crop, but into our new crop as well. So a lot to be determined here in the next 6 to 8 weeks down there in Brazil.
So can this corn market kind of center itself a little bit? Because like today's trade, Darren, it just seemed to be on both sides of the fence and couldn't find a happy medium.
Yeah, well, you know, we're on a 30-cent rally here, 35-cent rally in corn, more like a, you know, a 75, 80-cent rally in soybeans. So we've covered some ground here in the last 8 or so trading sessions, 10 trading sessions. So the market is trying to figure out, hey, can I go higher or do I just need to go back to the lows and make another new low? Is this a retracement that leads to a new low, or is this something different and we've made a bottom? And I'm kind of looking for May corn. We got to really get above 455, 460 area. That's still another 15, 20 cents. Love to see the beans above 12 and a quarter. That's another 30 cents. If we do that here in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 trading sessions, then I think you do have a bottom in place. But if we don't do that, we might have to go back to the lows one more time.
All right, well, stick around, folks. More is coming up as we get ready for the second half of today's Channel Final Bell. We'll kind of talk about what's going on in this wheat complex and, of course, the interesting ride that we have had on the livestock side. We know that June live cattle, by that way, closed above the Friday's highs. So some interesting things maybe yet to come for that commodity market. More is coming up. It is the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Let's have another channel chat with Grant Bailey. Grant and his wife, Mackenzie, own Bailey Ag Solutions near Norton, Kansas. Well, Grant, with the channel and regional brands coming together, what do you see as the advantages?
What I see is we're merging multiple strong portfolios to bring our customers more options to use on their farms to make them more profitable.
What are you most looking forward to with the new channel brand?
Probably the momentum. Channel has a good, strong momentum right now, but it's a great brand with strong products. This is only going to make us stronger and have a better market presence nationwide.
Well, Channel is here to help farmers rise to the challenge. For more on the new Channel brand, you can contact Bailey Ag Solutions at Norton, your local Channel seed professional, or go to channel.com/rise. Always read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
KRVN.
Welcome back once again to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. And we're continuing our conversation with Darren Fry. Darren, of course, with Water Street Advisors. So let's kind of talk about the wheat complex. What's your biggest takeaway for what seems to be going on with a market that has had some interesting trade action from outside influences?
Yeah, it sure has. You know, I've been trying to figure out when we're going to bottom this market and thought we maybe had one in place 10, 12 weeks ago in the Chicago wheat, but that failed and kept going to new lows in all these classes. And, of course, now the latest thing is China's been canceling all these cargoes they bought earlier. First, the soft red, and they've done, you know, 500,000, 600,000 metric tons of that. But now they're threatening to cancel some Kansas City, some hard red winter wheat. I saw they canceled a couple of cargoes of French wheat today. And so this got the market, you know, up in arms and what should we do? But, you know, it feels kind of like we have bottomed with all this negative news. I mean, this week itself, we've had some negative news. And last week we saw some reversals. We saw some candlestick chart pattern reversals. We saw some markets within the wheat classes that had double closed key reversal outside bar combinations. Some of those were scored on the daily, some on the weekly. So when you get that much bottoming reversal action and you're digesting a cheap Russian FOB market and cancellations from China, maybe you are bottoming because you're starting to digest and reject the negative news and you're turning anyway. And so it's possible we have a low in place. We need to see more. But I like how the market has digested the negative news this week.
I'll tell you, if there was ever a perfect textbook example of politics playing in the grain markets, this would be one of them.
It sure is. They are great marketers, and they use any rules available to do so and take advantage of things. But they know how to bring a market to its knees and get people to flush out at the wrong time. And I'm sure that China has more up its sleeve here as we move through this year. Just remember, ahead of this election, I don't know what they're going to do, but the last time Trump was in, and I'm not saying he's going to get elected, but they probably fear that looking at the polls. And if he gets in, there'll be a lot of fighting around trade talks, around trade wars, around imposing sanctions, those type of things. And so they might be trying to get some extra grain bought here ahead of this fall. Who knows? But I wouldn't be surprised.
Now, Darren, we've got that looming report coming end of month, and you're already starting to hear the acreage chatter of corn versus beans. But then you get that thrown in, well, but it all depends on what Mother Nature does. Eastern Corn Belt, Western Corn Belt. How long do you think till the market switches their focus from South American weather and starts focusing more on U.S. weather?
Well, I think to some degree the market's trying to do that. You know, the acreage thing will determine, weather will help determine that, price will help determine that. I mean, what cotton's doing down the Mid-South and Delta, I think it's going to rob some corn and bean acres, especially if they farm for the insurance payment. We know the insurance guarantee is higher there, almost identical last year compared to corn and beans that took a real hit this year. And so you could lose a couple million acres of corn and beans or more down in the Mid-South and Delta area. But then it just comes down to dollar and cents and what the farmer wants to grow, what he prefers growing, and then obviously what weather allows. But I do think that the focus on South America weather is going to be still front and center until we get to about the middle of April, and then it's really going to shift all eyes on North American weather. A lot of people are concerned about how quickly this El Nino is maybe switching to La Nina. We're seeing those waters around the 3.0, 3.40 region, INSO region, really starting to cool down, making big strides, and a little bit of a negative PDO off the West Coast as those waters are cooling down. And so this might increase some volatility around our weather for the Northern Hemisphere as we get into this 24 growing season.
Switch gears a little bit. Look at the livestock side. June live cattle closing above the highs of Friday. What's your takeaway?
Wow, that's good action, especially, you know, last week we broke out. And then, of course, we closed right back into support levels. I was on some different programs and people were asking me, what do you think? And I said, this is allowable, but it's, you know, it's concerning, right? And then, to see the market rebound here as we begin a new week and really start putting some exclamation points on it, getting through the high from last Friday is a good, starting point. But I like to see the market add more. We know fundamentals are real strong. Numbers are tight. Yes, demand on the export side on beef is a little bit light. But, man, we're seeing some good action here technically, and we still have ups in this market as we look at box beef and what it's doing. Strong seasonal as we move into May. I mean, we could see choice up around 350 before May ends. So there's just no way around it. I think the packers will come after this stuff, and we probably got higher markets to come here in cattle.
All right, good news there. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Well, they can always call me at the office at 866-249-2528, or they can look me up on Twitter. I'm at Frye, F-R-Y-E underscore W-S-S.
All right, that is today's Channel Final Bell being brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional. Just a reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.